This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05 in the evening, and first up, as I'm sure you know, you've heard maybe other people on our station wishing you happy International Women's Day. First off, our show later on from 6 to 7 is going to be dedicated to kind of examining that. But we also wanted to talk about something else that March 8th marks, because it is 5 years since MH370 disappeared without a trace over the South China Sea. I'm sure many of us remember it was a devastating event, and it continues to be a very painful mystery for many Malaysians, none more so than for the families of the 239 passengers on the flight.
So far, only a few fragments of the jet have been found, all on western Indian Ocean shores, and search efforts ended last year. However, Transport Minister Anthony Loke said the government was willing to consider proposals from Ocean Infinity to resume the search. Loke had said Malaysia would consider the matter if there is a proposal and credible leads. Now, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad promised in an interview with CNN last weekend that for as long as there is hope, we will continue to think of ways and means to find out the fate of the plane.
With that said, though, family members have said that the government needs to be more proactive instead of just taking a passive stance. A family member has also called on the Malaysian government to release more information, including radar and satellite data. And that has been a call that has come out pretty strongly from the quarter for quite some time now. I think with the hopes that if independent investigators had more information, right? If all the other different people seeking the plane had full access to everything, that perhaps something would come of it. And I don't think we're interested on the show necessarily in speculating about what happened, why it happened. So we just wanted to mark the day. We have on the line Blaine Gibson, the investigator who has been searching for the remains of MH370 independently. You may have heard him also in our news bulletins throughout today. He joins us now to talk about the search for the plane over the years. Blaine, you would have been asked this question many times now, but tell us again what made you decide in your capacity to search for the missing plane.
Yes, at the one-year anniversary, I became inspired, especially by Grace's speech, but by seeing the whole presentation, I was inspired by the families to do what I could to go solve this mystery. And when I learned that there was no official search being conducted on coastlines and shorelines, I thought, well, that's something I can do. I was astounded that there was no official search being conducted, because it always seemed to me that the first piece of this plane would probably be found by someone just walking on the beach rather than in the expensive, deep, difficult underwater search.
What was it about Grace Nathan's speech that really pushed you to get involved in the search?
She was talking about her mother at the one-year anniversary. And the way she described her mother sounded so much like my mother, who was the one who basically took me traveling and taught my love of travel. And when the news of the tragedy of Malaysia 370 broke, I was selling my family home and going through all of the old boxes of memories from my mother and father while watching it develop on television. So for that reason, I felt a personal connection. And then when I heard Grace's speech, I thought, you know, just imagine I could have been on that plane. How would my mother have felt? My mother could have been on that plane. How would I have felt? I just can't imagine it. So that inspired me to move forward with my search and investigation.
At this point then, 5 years on, what are the specific challenges for the search of the plane? And how has this passing of time actually changed the dimensions of that search?
Well, the passing of time has changed the search in that we know more now than we did 5 years ago. We know more now than we did 1 year ago, because when the plane went missing, we didn't even know what ocean it was in. And now with the debris and the radar analysis and the satellite analysis, we're at least able to tell that it's somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean, south of the equator and north of about 36 degrees south latitude. That's from the debris and the drift analysis. And because all of the debris went to Africa and none was found in Australia, we can narrow it down more. We also know where the plane isn't. There was the official search by Fugro and Phoenix that was led by ATSB, and that didn't produce anything. And then Ocean Infinity brought out its wonderful technology and searched some of the recommended areas, and they didn't find anything. So we know that the plane isn't there. It's just like when you're looking for anything. Once you've searched a certain area and you haven't found it, you then know that it's somewhere else. So while we don't know exactly where it is, I hope we know approximately where it is, and there are still some areas that need to be searched. And I hope that Malaysia will renew that contract with Ocean Infinity because they've got new technology, they've got the best technology, and resume the search on the no find, no fee basis, and go ahead and find this plane and solve this mystery.
And the Malaysian government has said that they do welcome proposals to resume the search if there are credible leads. How do you determine if a lead is credible?
Well, that's up to them to determine credible leads. But the language that I heard the new transport minister, Loke, use was that also if there is new technology and Ocean Infinity can put 8 AUVs in the water at the same time and search a much larger area more thoroughly and faster than in the first search, the official search. So new leads, well, there's new debris, there's new radar analysis, drift analysis, refined satellite analysis, and there are still some areas from the first analysis that haven't been searched. And then there are some more areas that might be more likely. So that, those leads, plus the technology that Ocean Infinity has to offer, and perhaps some other companies have to offer, those are things that I understand Malaysia's looking at to renew the search, and I hope they do. And remember, on the no find, no fee basis, there's no risk to Malaysia. They only pay if the plane is found. So I think that there's really every reason to move on, resume the search, and to try to bring the families and the flying public the answers we all need.
So in 5 years, investigations have yet to find any conclusive results. At what point do you say, you know, at least from the perspective of the investigation, that you just have to say there's closure? You know, can you achieve investigative closure without finding conclusive physical evidence?
You cannot find that sort of closure without finding the crash site and the truth. So I would say that from an investigative standpoint, they've simply got to keep on looking and find the plane and find the black box and learn as much as we can about what happened. When the crash site has been found, as much information that can be recovered has been recovered, as much of the truth is known as possible, that's when you close the investigation, not until then. And in terms of the families, that's up to them to decide when they feel that there is enough closure for them to move on. I cannot speak for them, but they want to know the truth of what happened to their loved ones and the plane, whatever it is. And I hope that closure can come for both at the same time, closure of the investigation and them finding out what happened to their loved ones and knowing the truth of why.
There was a lot of shock in terms of what happened to the plane, and it has been a wound for the people and the countries involved. How has working on this search for the past 4 years affected you?
It's had some good times and some bad times. I want to help find the truth, whatever it is. And unfortunately, that truth appears to be a sad one, because all that I and 15 other private citizens, completely unrelated to me and unrelated to one another, have found pieces of this plane. However, it's not enough to give us the answer of who, why, how, all those things. All it tells us is that the plane crashed somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean between those latitudes I described, and that the plane broke apart badly. But we don't know any more than that. And what my hope is that finding those small clues would help lead to finding the crash site underwater and the truth. But unfortunately, that has not yet happened. So that is very sad. And I hope that the little amount that I've been able to contribute will help lead to finding the truth and the plane.
Blaine, what do you hope to see being done aside from, you know, a resumption of the search?
Just that I'd like to see all the information that different people have to be shared publicly for peer review and analysis. There are a lot of people in governments and outside of governments who really want to solve this mystery and find out what happened to the plane. And I hope that we can all work together to do that. I'd like to see an analysis of the possible personal effects that I and other local people recovered on some beaches in Madagascar, to see if there's any chance that any of those could be from the plane. There are two pieces of debris that local people handed in as a result of the family's debris awareness efforts. Those are still in Madagascar, awaiting collection and delivery, because the honorary Malaysian consul who was supposed to collect and deliver those was assassinated before he did that. So they're still sitting in Madagascar awaiting collection and analysis. And I hope that the Malaysians will convince the people in Madagascar to release those for investigation and analysis. Those are the small things that can be done. But the big thing that can be done is to not give up, never give up, get that ship back in the water, looking at the most likely places where the plane could be, and recovering everything that we can.
Blaine, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Blaine Gibson, an independent investigator who has been searching for the remains of MH370. We wanted to speak to Blaine because today marks the fifth year of the plane going missing. Up next, we've got some music coming your way. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.